Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Thoughts with the rest of the world pretty shortly. 055-1111-997. Tonight, we are beginning to learn more about the broad resolutions designed by the Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament to fix the current power crisis after days of meeting all the players in the power sector. The country continues to grapple with an acute power crisis worsened in the last few days. The committee has announced 8 resolutions directed at all the players in the sector. According to the chairman of the committee, Samuel Atachia, the committee is asking President Akufo-Addo to direct the finance minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam, to do everything possible to raise funds to purchase fuel to power the thermal plants. After it observed that the current intermittent power supply is because the government is struggling to find the money to buy fuel. Now listen to Atachia speaking on the Joy News National Dialogue on the Power Crisis.
We talked about the 8 observations and sent to the president, the stakeholders themselves, to the speaker, and then the majority leader and the minority leader, for them to understand what is going on. And then we expect that action will be taken on some of this. We said that the president should secure the synergy among the critical players in the power value chain, especially the Minister for Finance, the Minister for Energy, the Mining Director of the Electricity Company of Ghana, the Chief Executive of the Volta River Authority, and the Chief Executive of Gridco. We're very, very much concerned about it. One issue that cropped up and was, as Riley said, fuel. You know, so if the Minister for Finance use every financial community to make available to the generator, namely TAPCO, TICO, TT, TT1PP, TT2PP, AMERI, if these are thermal setups, and critically, without the availability of fuel, they will not be able to generate what to expect. And it's a money issue, and it should be found. Because the cost to the economy of having power outages sometimes is incalculable. So the money should be found to ensure that fuel is secure for these markets. And then we can be assured of a very consistent power generation. We're also concerned about the fuel efficiency, which is to say that if there's a plant that should receive fuel but not generate adequate capacity as another plant, then we should look at the priority of generation. One thing we said, without mincing words, is what PRC is also asserting now, that it is imperative that the generality of Ghanaians should know in advance when they will be deprived of power, so that ECG's low shedding timetable should be clear. ECG was a bit worried about when Gridco gives professional and engineering, information before they can also plan along. We said that synergy should be so strong, and there shouldn't be a situation in which the people of Ghana going through such a challenge are also bereft of information regarding how they will plan their lives. I've heard about even mortuary issues, which I believe this might result.
Well, over the weekend, the finance minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam, described the current power crisis as government's biggest headache, vowing the government will fix the situation. He was speaking to journalists at the end of the IMF World Bank spring meetings in Washington, D.C.
The energy sector continues to be our Achilles heel. And the current outages is quite disturbing. We are not happy about it ourselves. But the problems in the energy sector have accumulated for years. We have addressed some of these challenges, but some of them are also emerging that needs immediate attention. And so under the leadership of His Excellency the President, we have agreed to a number of measures that we have started implementing. And in due course, very, very soon, the people of Ghana will see the results of these interventions. Particularly, the cash waterfall mechanism, which faced some challenges, is being repositioned to deliver and to achieve its objective. The revenue collection by ECG really has improved, but we haven't gotten to where we want to get to. We want ECG to collect, to populate the cash waterfall mechanism to the levels that can provide cash flow to all the other SOEs in the value chain, and that can also pay for fuel, and that can pay for the power IPPs are providing. We are almost there. And very soon, the people of Ghana will see the results. To bring accountability and transparency to bear on the cash waterfall mechanism, we have started auditing the cash waterfall. And we are also required to publish the findings from the audit. We've already done one audit and we've published the findings. We are going to continue to do that so that we can bring transparency and accountability so that all revenues meant for the cash waterfall goes to the cash waterfall for the purpose for which it was created. We've also established a single collection account. Therefore, ECG will not collect revenue through the many accounts that they operate. Everything will come through a single collection account. So it is easier for all of us to track. I have to say that the payment for excess capacity, even though we do not have much excess capacity now, the debts accumulated as a result of the excess capacity continues to be on our books. And we need to pay in addition to the legacy debts. As a result of this, we have been negotiating with the IPPs to restructure the debt. And once we conclude the negotiation, the debt overhang, you know, the shortfall will reduce. I can tell you that in the next 1 month, we should be signing off with the IPPs on the restructuring of our debts. And once the shortfalls are reduced, we should be working towards bringing the sector into financial sustainability in line with the energy sector recovery program. And so this is what I can tell you about the energy sector shortfall.
And that there is a finance minister, Mohamed Amin Adam. I want to bring in John Junapo. He's a ranking member on the Energy Committee. Dr. Nidako Asante is a former PULC commissioner, also joins us right now on the phone. Mr. Junapo, let me start with you. I mean, you've said that the challenges we're currently facing with the power crisis down to a financing challenge. We simply do not have the money to buy enough fuel. You've had a finance minister who is in charge of the purse. He says that the raft of measures that they are currently putting in place will fix the problem. Does he address, you've heard him, does he address the issues fundamentally for you from what you've heard?
Man, I'm very, very worried listening to the finance minister. Because to be frank with you, I find nothing concrete, nothing tangible from what the finance minister is saying. First of all, if you decide that all ECG revenue should go into one bank account, how does that resolve the problem?
Well, then you can track how much is coming in so you're not having money dissipated, so you can have enough in there to pay everybody.
They've always been doing that. The PURC tracks every penny.
But they have 61 accounts the last time the PURC published that document. That definitely doesn't help, does it?
I'm telling you that the PURC has a foothold on all the revenues that comes to ECG. The challenge is the issue of losses. Secondly, we are talking of an immediate challenge of fuel. And so the question is, how do we get money today to buy the fuel? That is what Ghanaians are interested in. Not long-term measures. As for the long-term measures, they are good. You can implement them. But as we speak today there's going to be a deficit of 500 megawatts on account of inability to procure fuel. So what is the finance minister doing to help these utilities to buy the fuel? The second one is that government itself, from the report, and you have seen the report, has failed consistently to pay its portion of power consumed by government agencies such as the health sector and the police. 200 million cedis every month. They fail to pay that. If the finance minister pays that money today, 1.6 billion, the utilities can buy fuel. I'm just hearing the finance minister say that they are negotiating with the IPPs, and if they negotiate, they will make savings. During the State of the Nation address, the president was categorical that they've concluded negotiations and even mentioned savings. So even credibility is a problem. Look, they should stop these tourists We've had enough of this story since January. Since January, they've been shedding load and giving us stories. The finance minister should reprioritize government expenditure, help the utilities to buy fuel within the shortest possible time, so that this load shedding will be over. Then we can start talking about those medium to long-term measures. I mean, if you're not curious that this week, BIDCO has written to the ministry to inform them they will be shedding load of 500 megawatts every day. And yet, government officials have instructed ECT not to issue the load shedding timetable.
And you know this how?
Pardon?
You know this how? Because I haven't seen any evidence of this effect.
They, I'm speaking to you on fact. Check with GRIDCO whether they are not shedding 500 megawatts this week on a daily basis.
The allegation that they've been directed not to publish.
We met them. The Mines and Energy Committee chaired by Honorable Atachia. And Honorable Atachia has given you the real facts of the matter. It was agreed at the meeting, and all of them considered that the load shedding is not because of transformers. It is because they do not have fuel. The Mines and Energy Committee directed them to publish the load shedding timetable. PURC directed them to publish the load shedding timetable. The Ministry of Energy at the meeting told us that it was going to be difficult. We overturned their decision and said they should still publish the timetable. Today, as we speak, they have failed to do so. What else could prevent them?
And you say this week, they're going to be shedding 500 megawatts every single day for the rest of the week.
Every day, 500 megawatts on average at peak.
And you say they've already told
the energy ministry. The report from GRIDCO.
Stay with me. Dr. Nidakwa Asante, since you're hearing from the finance ministry, you've just heard from Jinapol, I mean, that the PURC tend to have a handle on how much is coming in into the cash waterfall and how much is going out. Is it that simple, though? You were the former commissioner there.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners. Well, yes, in a way it is simple. There's not enough money coming in to pay everything that needs to be paid. So the extra money has to come from somewhere. And to date, Ministry of Finance has been financing the shortfall. So now there's a particular shortfall with fuel. There isn't really anywhere else the money can come from. It has to come from either the Ministry of Finance or somebody not getting paid so that we can buy fuel.
Bottom line, there's no quick fix to this problem unless we can find money for somewhere.
Yes, there's no quick fix. And, I mean, load shedding, we all know is going on. Either we just accept that we'll go through load shedding for a period until somehow whatever source of gas is made available so that we have enough fuel. There's really no other option. Either we shed load or we find money to buy fuel.
If you listen to the finance minister, he's banking his hopes on consolidating the ECG's account so we can hopefully raise more but track it. Then we can pay everybody else and have some to buy fuel. Is that a realistic solution?
Not really, no. The ECG is not collecting enough. I mean, the money that may be getting lost, at worst, ECG is keeping it and using it for its own, for its other debts or for financing other costs that it has. The best that you can do is for ECG to collect more money. There's a lot of losses, that is, people are stealing or using electricity and not paying. And until we can reduce that, there's no more money coming to the kitty. You know, they are using 61 accounts. Yes, that's inefficient. Bank charges are necessarily high. But you are not going to get more money just by putting the same amount of money in one account.
And another issue that cropped up last week, and we understand that the PURC will be meeting tomorrow on this. They, as you know, PURC sanctioned ECG and its board of directors because they failed to publish this timetable to govern all of us and a host of other breaches. The ECG rejects that categorically in a strongly worded statement that they issued yesterday. How do you now expect that the commission will deal with this, considering that it's not become a standoff?
Well, it's an interesting position we are in now, ECG has rejected it on legal grounds. If PRC feels it is clothed with the power to enforce this on legal grounds, I guess this will go to court.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
But I think as Ghanaians, we should be more interested in the reasons why PRC imposed this fine. We have a situation where ECG has been instructed to issue a load shedding timetable. They are not doing so. ECG has been asked to pay its suppliers according to the cash waterfall mechanism formulas. They are not doing so. Essentially, the leadership or the management of ECG do not answer to the regulators to whom they should answer. They are required to follow the directives and instructions of the PRC, especially, I don't think it's contested, about load shedding timetables, for instance. But clearly, for political or other reasons, it is seen not expedient to do so. For as long as the directors are not personally liable for such decisions, we will have political influence carrying sway, which would mean that the only way we could get above that is to privatize. And we've heard the discussions about privatization. If it was a private entity, you could sanction the company, let them pay the fine, and the owner will make sure the directors behave better. Currently, the owner is us, the people. It's in trust to the government, and it suits their purposes not to have a load-shedding timetable at the moment. So really, what is at play is, are the regulators going to be given the mechanism to enforce their judgments, their instructions with the utilities?
Can they go to court to get an enforcement, the PRLC?
Pardon?
Can they go to court to get an enforcement? Are they allowed to do so in this
circumstance? Yes, they could go to court, and they might choose to do so. But for me, the issue is, what do we, the people of Ghana, really want to happen? Do we want it to be privatized because that's the only alternative? Or do we want the regulators to have some way to enforce their directives if the management and directors choose not to do so? That is what should be exercising our minds. At the end of the day, laws will, you know, legal arguments will be made, but let's say it goes against the PRC. Are we in Ghana happy with that? That's really what we should be considering.
Thank you very much, Dr. Nidako Asante. Thank you very much, John Junapo. He's a ranking member on the Mike's Energy Committee, on the Energy Committee, has rebranded. And what are your own thoughts on this? I want to hear from you. You heard Dr. Nidako Asante, a former PRLC commissioner, say there are no quick fixes and the current solutions prescribed by the finance minister won't solve the problem. And that takes us nicely to our Doomsday Diary today. Now, the intermittent power outages continue to have a devastating impact on businesses across the country. These essential businesses are grappling with stalled production, financial losses, and mounting frustration. Now, in our latest episode, as far as the Doomsday Diaries is concerned, we put a spotlight on the milling industry, which is responsible for processing some of our favorite staple foods, but has begun to suffer setbacks due to the Doomsday crisis. Kenneth Jesse has more.
Seated alone in his milling shop, Samson waits on ECG to restore the light that was taken several hours ago. This has become a regular occurrence at Asufa, near Ofanko Barrier in the Greater Accra region and other parts of the country. Lights go off at unexpected times, with no one knowing when it will be restored. Samson mills corn, tomatoes and kenke. His customers come to his shop as early as 4 a.m. and that's usually the period the lights go off the most.
Because it's a money thing. They have to come and grind and then go and make sure that they prepare for their children for school. So that's how they come early. So when they come and then the light is off, it's worried them. They go back and leave their container here or their rubbers here for the next day. That means that that day, they will not work. So what the work they did yesterday, that's what they have to depend on today. So that means that your life is going back. So this light off, something has to be done about it.
The location of Samson's shop means he does not attract as many customers as he would have wished. He tells me that majority of the milling shops are located at market centers and people prefer sending the items there to bringing it where he is. That, coupled with Dumso, is taking a toll on his business.
You know, sometimes when it's the lights go off and then they bring it back and it is low current, it affects our machines. If you're not careful, this motor can just bend. And it's going to take you about 2,000 plus before you rewind it. And it's not going to be an easy thing. And I would like the government to be sincere to the country that this is what's going on. Because you have various problems already that cannot be solved. We are just there. Like, we are not in our country. So we would like them to be sincere. Tell us what is going on. What they want to do with our life. Because this is our life. Without work, what are you living for?
When customers bring their dry meals to Samson's shop for mailing, or Samson buys one himself for the same purpose and there is no power, they leave it in his care, in anticipation that the light will be restored by the time they return. But that is not always the case. This often results in the items going bad due to how delicate and tender they are. The customers lose money, and so does Samson.
Sometimes when you go and buy the kenke for the ice kenke, and then the customers come and buy, and then unfortunately the light is off. And they go back. That means that the next day you cannot use the kenke again. It will spoil. So you have to go and buy another one. So that means that that money is just gone. You will not get anything at the end of the day. So, and then the maize too, the corn too, when you soak it, let's say 3 days, and then unfortunately the light is off, you realize that though you can grind it and then get it, but you cannot get the quantity that you want because it will reduce. It is too much soaked, so it will reduce the quantity that you are expecting. So that means that whatever you're supposed to get out of it, or let's assume that maybe if you sell it, you get like 200 Ghana cedis, it may reduce to 100 Ghana cedis or 150.
Asufa and its surrounding communities are known for experiencing erratic power outages, popularly known as Dumso. This was evident when the news team arrived in the community at around 2 in the afternoon. The lights were off and had been so since the dawn of that day. Their plea for a Dumso timetable seems to have fallen on deaf ears. For Joy News, Kenneth Jesse, Accra.
And many of you have already joined us with your thoughts on what is happening in that sector, the energy sector, with your lights going off and on. And I want to bring in Senna from Agon, who says, good evening, Mines Energy Committee must work hard to restore the power in this country, he says. And I also have this one from Phillips, says a Dumso in Keta constituency is getting out of hand. We are appealing to the Energy Minister Napo and the ECG boss. They should try as much as possible to give us a timetable, he is asking there. Also, from you listening to us in Tema, Guy Fox, very interesting, the sessions by Nanabi, the MPP. So Nanabi is effectively saying that if the people of Ejisu want to see development, they have no right to elect a candidate of their choice by one imposed by the party upon them. Is that not in line with Nado's policy, which he stated to the Queen Mother recently at a meeting at the Flagstaff House, he's asking. And the final one on the stories we've looked at so far, this is on the power sector. And this is Fidelis. He's at the Asuchiri Junction. He says, we slept in darkness and sweating yesterday. The power outages are becoming one too many. He says, what about you? Share your thoughts with us. Share your doomso diary with us. And James Shan is here with business. James, I reckon you've been enjoying your doomso in your house.
Definitely have been experiencing my son.
Not enjoying it, right? You need to find a way. I use enjoying deliberately because you, at some point, you need to find a way to just accept it. Because exactly. If you don't have a generator, if you don't have an inverter, you don't have a solar panel, you just have to find
a way.
You
have no option than to sleep.
Yeah, and just find a way to just joy somehow. Because if you think about it too much, you can go crazy. What do you have in the headline?
Right, Evans, in business, Independent Power Generator says it is expecting government to finalize proposals on debt restructuring to pave the way for signing of a memorandum of understanding. And more economists hope for Ghana could complete debt restructuring program with bilateral creditors soon, but advise finance minister to go for a good deal for the country. Business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks and Pepsodent Charcoal and Herbal.
When you want to eat, just Momo it. Tired of the long queues in the supermarket? Pay with Momo. When you really want that beautiful new blouse, just Momo it. When you want to get a trim and get fresh to impress you know who, just Momo it. When you need to pay your utility bills and domestic staff, Shani Momo. When you want to send love to the family back home, send some Momo. Join the millions of MTN Momo users all over Ghana and live life the brighter way. So just Momo it.
MTN.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you...
Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. I am James Ishen. Let's settle for the details. Now, first off, the Independent Power Generators Ghana stated that it is waiting for government to tie some loose ends and its debt restructuring program proposed to the power producer versus the group say will pave the way to sign an MOU on debt payment schedule. The finance minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam, disclosed at a meeting in Washington, D.C. last week that some consensus have been reached. Speaking to Joy Business, the CEO of the Independent Power Generators Ghana, Dr. Elik Blim Akpetogbo, said the power producers will sign a deal which will be fair for all players.
Let me say we have engaged peacefully and fruitfully. Fruitfully because we've tried to reach a consensus, but we are yet to tie the loose ends because there are some conditions of good faith that must be shown by the government. At the end of the day, there should be a balance. I shouldn't win while you lose, or you should not win where I lose. So we are still waiting for those loose ends to be tied. On our side, we are ready. Once government can honor its obligations or what we have agreed, we are willing to sign and move on.
Dr. Elik Blim Akpetobo is the Chief Executive Officer of the Independent Power Generators Ghana. To some more energy-related story, the Executive Director of the African Center for Energy Policy, Ben Boach, is challenging claims that the international framework for debt negotiations has not been favorable to Ghana. It follows criticisms that the G20 common framework put forward by the IMF and the World Bank have not moved fast to deal with Ghana's current debt crisis. Some have even argued that the lack of commitment on the part of these countries has delayed Ghana's effort in securing a debt deal from creditors. Mr. Boachi says the deal has actually helped Ghana.
No, I don't know where we would be without the G20 framework. I mean, you could imagine Ghana paying interest for the past 2 years. That would have been scary for the city The depreciation would have been so swift because government would have crowded out everybody needing these dollars to be able to service Eurobond and other debts. So it's a big relief that we got. But again, how do you sustain it? Even after the negotiations, right, you're still going to have to pay the debt at some point. How do we prepare the economy to be able to respond to the lease of life that we may have after the negotiations so that we don't come back to where we are today?
Ben Boache is the Executive Director of the African Center for Energy Policy. Let's do some other stories. Associate Professor of Economics Patrick Esumen is hopeful Ghana will secure an MOU with eight bilateral creditors in May following the significant progress made so far. With regards to restructuring of the country's debt, his comment follows news that Ghana's bilateral creditors will soon issue a formal statement on a due reach to restructure eight debt, reacting to development. Professor Esumen said, although Ghana is close to getting the deal, securing the MOU is more critical to unlock the $360 million.
When you hear the comments coming from both the IMF and the government side, you get a sense that we are very close and that probably, most likely in May, whenever there's an IMF board meeting, you get a sense that by then the MOU would have been signed and Ghana will be ready to submit the second SLA.
Then there's no time to jubilate yet until we get that official communication or MOU from both parties, right?
It's never time to jubilate as far as, as long as we are in this program. I mean, I think from the IMF point of view, we've made a lot of progress. And the macro indicators show that we've made progress. But I think you and I will agree that, ordinary Ghanaians wouldn't feel that kind of progress. So, yes, but in terms of the program, what the program wants to achieve and the indicators, yes, it's going to be good progress for the program because then more release will come. Don't forget that in recent times, the city has become wobbly.
You had Associate Professor of Economics Patrick Esumen. Also, the director at the Institute of Statistical, Social and Economic Research, Professor Peter Korte, believes the final process for the MOU between Ghana and its bilateral creditors will go through some fine-tuning to satisfy all parties involved.
The final MOU, because it has to go through some iterations, we are talking of several creditors and therefore there are institutions and individuals involved. And there's some discussion, some agreements, some adjustments we have to make here and there. One size fits all doesn't work. We all have to gradually agree. And then when you have a final draft, a final document, then you can run with it.
Professor Peter Korte is the director at the Institute of Statistical, Social and Economic Research. Now, some industries are renewing calls for government to intervene in getting a competitive cost of credit for private sector players. The latest to make the call is the chief executive for Promasi.org, Ghana Festus Tete, speaking to Joy Business. At the launch of the company's 25th anniversary of the campaign, he called for a stable macroeconomic environment that will support businesses to expand their operations.
What industry needs for us in the food industry and in business general manufacturing to improve is to ensure that we get good cost of capital, which will make us competitive even within the West African sub-region. Today we export to numerous countries, but the key is how we compete, our taxes, our costs. We're playing the same field with other countries in the sub-region. So if we don't have competitive cost of capital, it will be very difficult to compete with our peers in other countries. And so that is key to continue to have our industry expand and to dominate West Africa with quality products from this country.
Festus Tete is the managing director of Promasi.org. And that's all for business on Newsnight with me, James Ishen. Over to you, Evans.
Thank you very much, James. And Ms. Bao is here with sports.
Yes, Evans, well, it's Dreams FC. They are the talk of town at the moment. Their coach, Abdul Karim Zito, he's been speaking following the arrival from Egypt after that draw against Zamalek. And he said he believes Zamalek were surprised by his game plan in Sunday's CAF Confederations Cup semi-final first leg. Now, Zito did lead the FA Cup champions as they held Zamalek to a goalless draw at the Cairo International Stadium on Sunday. And according to him, Zamalek did underrate his boys, particularly because of their performance in the Ghana Premier League. However, he credited his boys' resilience for the impressive performance in Egypt.
When you look at our position in the league, it will give you a different impression about Dreams. So it was like, who are these boys, blah, blah. And you see us, small boys. So before they realize this is what they wanted and they could not get it, they have to push, fighting the referees and so forth. So I think we've all seen it before. We relied on information, but now we've seen it live. So we have to plan seriously how to face them and then get.
That's Abdul Karim Zito Evans. Now, let's hear from the head coach of Kumasi Asante Kotoko, because they managed to pick their first win after 7 games. And this follows a series of protests by fans who raised concerns about the team's performance. Kotoko managed to get a 1-0 victory over league leaders Samatex. And after the game, their head coach, Poswanate Ogum, says it was such a great relief.
Once you win, you become okay. The game is all about winning, especially when you're coaching a team like Kumasi Asante Kotoko. It doesn't matter how beautifully you play. At the end of the day, even if you don't play well and you get them the 3 points, that's okay.
That's Prosperate Ogum there. The club is now lying 10th on the Ghana Premier League table. Evans, that's it for sports.
And thank you very much, Ms. Bao. It's still News Night on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, the Ghana Health Service is asking persons who test positive for COVID-19 to avoid work and other public places and rather observe self-isolation. Director of Public Health, Dr. Franklin Asidu-Bekwin, confirms recent outbreaks to the head of the Joy Youth Health Desk, who joins us in the studio with more. Fred, so what are we learning about the possible outbreak, fresh outbreak, or increasing cases of COVID-19?
Well, the Ghana Health Service says we are experiencing what he called a sporadic outbreak. So it means that from time to time people get cases. And as we speak, per the information released on the 7th of April, we are having about 21 cases in all, mainly in the Greater Accra region. And we have Kole Klote, that's the Osu area, Ayawaso West, that's the airport area, Ayawaso East, where we are now, Shai Osu Doku, they're also recording some cases there. And in the eastern region, we have New Jaben South, Ho, Sanerigu in the northern region, and then central Gonja. But the Ghana Health Service is asking Ghanaians to go back to the protocols as we had it during the peak of the pandemic. Wash your hands carefully, observe social distancing, and if you feel sick, make sure you take a test. If you test positive, make sure you stay at home and not come to work or go to the market or any other places where you have lots of people.
Face masks?
Yes, indeed. Face mask is a must. We must put that on, especially if you are feeling the symptoms.
Okay, some public notices there for you as far as the health is concerned. This is your election headquarters. And as you know, your election headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in Full Quantity, SEMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, SEMA, AICPA and SEMA together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants and the German Ozone Medical Center Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty. Now, 6,480 MPP members who joined the Movement for Change have returned to the MPP, cutting all ties. Now, at a news conference announced the return, leader of the group, Alfred Abebio Okumi, who once contested in the MPP parliamentary primaries in Adenta constituency, said they trust Dr. Baumiek's solutions and Theo John Mahama's vision for Ghana.
It has become evidently clear that we made a mistake. And I'll repeat, it has become evidently clear that we made a mistake that we humbly admit and ready to work to ensure that its dire effect is reversed or averted. Since the 7th February 2024 speech by His Excellency the flag bearer of the MPP, Dr. Mahmoud Baumia, we have been asking ourselves questions that borders on the future of this country and the very Ghana that we young people want. It has become unarguably clear that amongst all the political leaders, Dr. Baumia has so far been the one who has clearly articulated the Ghana story.
And that there is one of the MPP returnees. Let's stay with issues within the election headquarters as we build up to that all important elections later this year. Flag bearer of the National Democratic Congress, John Mahama, says the reintroduction of free sanitary pad initiative will be a priority if successful in staging a comeback to office. In a meeting with the teacher unions, the former president revealed intentions to mainstream STEM and TVET education into secondary schools. Mr. Mahama made other pronouncements to overhaul the education sector.
Free pads for female learners in both basic and senior high schools was initiated under the SYL NDC administration. If you remember, our opponents now in government mocked us and called it the pad loan. For you, the unions, to have raised this as an issue in the concerns that you have presented to us means that our policy on sanitary pads was well thought through and needs to be looked at again. The NDC policy of infrastructure development will again be pursued vigorously to decongest the large class sizes. Abandoned infrastructure in the basic and senior high schools and TVET schools, including the famous E-blocks, will receive priority attention under a new NDC administration. The need to review and improve upon the free SHS TVET policy is no longer debatable.
And that there is John Dramani Mahama, still live here on News Night on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, the gospel music community is in a state of shock on the loss of one of his brightest stars, Kofi Owusu-Dia Anto, popularly known as Koda. Now, the unexpected passing of the revered singer, songwriter, and producer has left a void in the hearts of many, triggering an outpouring of grief and fond memories. My colleague, Jacqueline Asuma Yeboah, has more in this report.
Call me broken hearted. Come to Jesus now.
Kofi Owusu-Dia Anto, widely recognized as Koda, was not just a Ghanaian gospel icon, but a pillar of inspiration for many. His untimely passing on Sunday, April 21st, has sent shockwaves across the nation. At the Holy Ghost concert, where gospel musicians like Pastor Joe Bichem, Uncle Lato, and SK Frimpong performed, tributes poured in, underscoring Koda's indelible mark on their musical journeys.
It's difficult for all of us to believe. In fact, I still can't accept that he's gone, because nobody expected this to happen to him at this very, very young age. Not just a producer or a musician or a friend, but part of me is gone, because I've known no other producer than him.
And it was Kofi who discovered me. It was Kofi who discovered me. For people like me, Kofi lives in me.
We wish that God will cause him to sleep well and have a good sleep. We love him. He's my father. He has impacted my life in so many ways.
Meanwhile, the resident of Sekendi Takrade grapples with disbelief, hoping that the news is untrue. Joy News captures some reactions from residents.
2 o'clock today, I went to Mrs. Newman to have a shoot with her, and she broke the news to me that have I heard that Koda has passed on. I said, why? What's wrong? So we were all so sad, even we couldn't have the shoot.
It's so much to take in. Like, we have questions, but as Christians, we can't question. It's so much to take in. We wish it didn't happen today.
Koda's family, though, confirming his demise, opts for privacy in their mourning.
May he so rest in perfect peace. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Call me broken hearted. Come to Jesus now.